Good morning. I'm reading from Romans chapter 15, verses 23 to 33. And Paul is writing this from Corinth. This has a lot of geography in it. And he's writing it from Corinth, which is in Greece. So that sort of helps you to see where he is as he's talking about his plans to travel all these other places. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I finish this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessings of Christ. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Thank you, Connie. This is the word of the Lord, and we know that the Lord adds his blessing to the hearing and the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask your blessing on your word this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that through your word you continue to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you've been teaching us through your word, through the life of the Apostle Paul. And today, this morning, again, I just pray to give us ears to hear from you, hearts to receive what you have for us as we prepare to meet with you at your table and as we open your word together. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever made plans to do something and it didn't turn out, the plans didn't turn out the way you expected? Ralph shaking his hand, he has his hands up, he says amen to that. Young couples, when I go through premarital counseling with young couples, they always have their list of plans. They think they have life figured out, you know? And they're going to get married. They're going to get the perfect house. They're going to land the perfect job. They're going to have all these things. And then when everything is at the right time, then they'll start to maybe think about having kids. And they think they have everything planned out. But then it doesn't take long for them to realize life doesn't always turn out the way we plan it to be sometimes, does it? Things can happen. Uncertainties can happen that changes our plans. If you ever traveled, you know that you can make your plans and you can make your itinerary and plan out how you think you're going to get to, especially if you're flying, and you get on your plane and think, it's just to take off here, we're supposed to arrive in so city at so-and-so time, and especially if you have a connector, then you go to the next flight, and you think everything will be okay. But then you find out sometimes when you make your flight that things doesn't always go the way you plan. You know, when Kim and I went down to Florida in February, we had our plans. We thought everything was going to go. We got to the airport in plenty of time. Karen took us up, as you know. We got there, we waited, and then the flight was delayed. And the flight was delayed. And the flight was delayed. And it didn't go the way we had planned it at all. And they told us, we can get you to Charlotte, but we can't get you to Florida for 3 days. That wasn't what we had planned and hoped. And so sometimes that can happen. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we expect, and sometimes they can turn out better than we expect. Another time when Kim and I went to Florida, and we were flying back, they told us, they said, the flights are overbooked, but they said, if you're willing to give up your seat, we'll give you 2 free tickets for you can use for a year. So we said, okay, we'll do that. So we gave up our tickets, and they gave us other ones. And when they called us to board the plane here that time, they gave us tickets for first class. and they flew us back first class. I'll tell you, that was nice. That was not what we expected. And we got the 2 free tickets besides. So sometimes things can go better than we expect or not. The Apostle Paul was nearing the end of this book. He's nearing the end of sharing with us this teaching on what it means to be in that right relationship with God. And he's sharing with the church in Rome his personal plans of what he is planning to do and hoping to come to see them. And his plan was, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He was in Corinth. As Connie said, he was in Corinth. He was getting ready to leave there to go to Jerusalem to deliver an offering that had been collected by the Christians in the churches in Corinth, Philippi, and Thessalonica. And those churches had contributed an offering to the Christians in Jerusalem because they were going through suffering and hardship. So Paul was going to take the offering from the Gentile believers to the Jewish believers at Jerusalem. And then from there, he was going to deliver the offering. His plans were to go to Spain, because he wanted to go there and take the gospel to the farthest, most western part of the Roman world at that point, which was Spain. And on his way, he wanted to stop in Rome and visit the church there, which he had never met and he had been writing to. And that was his plan. But we're going to see that things don't always go out the way we want. And when we make our plans, we have to learn to hold them loosely, because things can change. So we're going to discover 2 things this morning about prayer and about planning, that what we can learn from Paul's life. And the first is, make your plans, but submit them to God's will. It's not wrong to plan, and we need to make plans in life and to have those plans, and it's not wrong to do so. But when we do that, we need to realize that we got to submit those plans to God, because God is sovereign and he can change our plans. You know, sometimes God likes to mess with our plans sometimes to make us realize who's really in charge. You know, we're not the ones in charge. And we can put a whole detailed thing out and say, this is what I got, Lord. Bless my plans. But he says, I'm God. I can figure it out. I'm sovereign here. So make our plans, but submit them to God's will, because God may choose to fulfill our plans in a way that we don't expect. Paul's plan, and I have a lot of scripture here to reference. We're not going to have time to read them all, so I want you to do a study this week. That's why I put all these down and do a more in-depth study for you this week. But Paul's plan is recorded in Acts chapter 19, verses 21 to 22. And there he's sharing that I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And he said, I'm going from Jerusalem to give the offering, and from there I'm going to go to Rome. And that was Paul's plan, and he had it all figured out. But if you go to Acts 28, verses 11 to 16, you'll find that God had a different plan. Yes, it was God's will for Paul to go to Rome, but not in the way that he expected. If you remember what happened, when he got to Jerusalem, do you remember what happened there? He delivered the offering, but then he went to the temple and he was arrested there. And a mob took out in a riot, and he was arrested. And he eventually appealed his case, but he went to Rome. But he went to Rome as a prisoner. Not the way that he expected. He wasn't hoping to go to Rome in jail. But that was how he arrived there. Because why? God was going to have a reason. But our Lord can change our plans. And they may not go the way we expect sometimes. So make them, but submit them to his will, knowing that he is sovereign. Because God can change them in a way we don't expect, but also God can alter our plans in order to accomplish his will. And that's what was happening in Paul's life. It was Lord's will for Paul to get to Rome, but not as a free man. The Lord had a purpose for Paul to get to Rome, but as a prisoner of Rome, and we're going to see why. And so sometimes if the Lord chooses to alter your plans or mine that we make, he's doing it because he has a purpose and will that he wants to accomplish in and through you. And in order to do that, he has to sometimes alter what we have planned out so that he can fulfill his will in and through our lives. Does that make sense? And we see it here in Paul. Why did he do that? He altered God's plans to accomplish his will. And we see that in Acts chapter 21. And there in Acts chapter 21, verses 18 to 15, Paul was saying there, he said that I am going to go to Rome, but he says, I am bound there. And and he was arrested, and he was bound. And in chapter 23, he says that it is my will, God is saying, I want you to go to Rome. But in verses chapter 18 to 15, he's there in the house of Philippi, Philip the evangelist, and a prophet speaks to him and says that when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. And it's not going to be the way you had thought. But yet my will is with you to get you to Jerusalem and to get you to Rome, and because I want you to go there. And God altered his plan. Why? So that God could use Paul to proclaim the gospel to the Roman powers and authorities. One of the reasons that Lord allowed Paul to be arrested in Jerusalem was that God was going to use Paul because of his training. He had been well trained in the Jewish law. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the scripture well. He was a Roman citizen. He was a man of great learning. And God was going to use Paul to proclaim the gospel to the authorities of Rome, the highest people in authority. How could he do that? He had to have him arrested so that he could stand before him in trial and give his defense. If you read Romans chapter 24 through 26 and read those chapters this week, and you'll find there Paul giving his defense as he was arrested after he got to Jerusalem. First before Governor Felix, and then before Governor Festus, and then before King Agrippa, and then ultimately before Caesar himself, as he says, I am appealing my case to Caesar. And he did that so that he could get to Rome and proclaim the gospel in the highest places of authority. That wouldn't have happened if Paul wouldn't have been arrested and the Lord wouldn't have altered his plan. So sometimes when the Lord alters our plan, he does it for a higher purpose and good. And I want you to see a couple verses here. Turn to Acts chapter 26, just verses 30 to 32. The rest of these you can read on your own this week. But in Acts chapter 26, verses 30 to 32, as he appealed and gave his case to the last time before Governor Festus and King Agrippa, it says that the king rose in verse 30, and with him the governor and Bernice, and those sitting with them. And they left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man has done nothing that deserves death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. The Lord used this whole thing to get him to Rome, not only as a prisoner to appeal to Caesar, to take the gospel to the emperor himself, but even to be paid for it by the Rome government, because he was gone as a prisoner. They were paying his transportation to get there. Isn't that great? And go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. And I want you to notice a verse here, and I'm trying to bring some connections of other scripture to this whole story so you can see what God was doing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul is making some greetings, and we're going to talk about this book a little bit later. But he was sending some greetings to the people in Philippi who had supported him. And he says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to who? Caesar's household. Meaning that there were members of Caesar's own household who heard the gospel because of him being imprisoned in Rome that wouldn't have had that opportunity if God wanted to change his plan. Isn't that awesome? How God works. So sometimes when those hardships come our way, and sometimes when things come out that don't, like we didn't plan, and they become unpleasant situations to us, it wasn't pleasant for Paul to be a prisoner, but yet God was using it for a greater purpose to bring about his good, so that the gospel could be proclaimed to the highest Roman authorities that never would have had a chance to have heard it. Also, he did that so that God could use Paul to teach and disciple others in the faith. When he arrived at Rome, we read in Acts chapter 28, when he arrived at Rome and he was in his prison cell, I don't want to read these verses for you. Verses 30 through the end of the book of Acts. It says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. And boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was imprisoned there for 2 whole years, he taught everybody that came to visit him in jail. And it says that the Roman soldiers that were chained to him had to sit and listen to his teaching. And so the Lord had given him opportunities. Even though he was chained, the gospel wasn't changed. And he was able to teach and disciple others in the faith, that he wouldn't have had that opportunity otherwise. We see that in Acts chapter 18, verses 17 to 24, and Acts chapter 18, verses 30 to 31. He also altered Paul's plans so that the Lord could use Paul to write the word of God by his Spirit. When Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he was doing some powerful things. Not only was he teaching, but God was using him at that point to write some of the word of God, what we call the prison letters. Turn with me to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, said this: "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke by God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." He's saying that they wrote by the power of the Holy Spirit. And go to chapter 3, verse 15. Peter then saying, "Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote with you about the wisdom God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking with them of these matters, and his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other," what? "Scriptures to their own destruction." Here Peter is saying that the Lord used Paul to write Scripture, the word of God, under the inspiration of the Spirit. When did he do that? He led a lot of that in prison. If you look at these books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Philemon, and 2 Timothy, all were written while Paul was in that Roman cell in prison in Rome. And the Lord used him there to communicate and to write the power of the word of God. That probably might not have happened if God hadn't altered his plan and he didn't get to Rome in the way that he did. But he also altered his plan so that God could use Paul to save others from danger. If you read in Acts chapter 37 on his journey, Acts chapter 27 on his journey to Rome, as he was sent there by a prisoner, he was sent by ship. That was how he traveled. And as they were on their ship journey, the ship wrecked. There was a big shipwreck, if you remember the story, and you can read that this week. And God said to Paul, he said, if they trust, and Paul brought the message that the Lord gave to him and said, if you trust and believe, nobody will be perished. Nobody will be lost. And they listened to Paul. They listened to his teaching and instruction, and nobody was lost. Everybody was saved, even though the ship had perished and was lost. And the Lord protected them, and he used Paul to bring that message so that others could be saved on that shipwreck journey on the way to Rome as a prisoner. Many different ways, but the Lord altered his plan so that God's will could be accomplished. And we don't know what lies ahead, so we need to trust God for each day. Paul didn't know. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. And see what Paul says here as he was preparing to go to Jerusalem to deliver the offering. In Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 20, he was saying goodbye to the elders at the church at Ephesus who he had loved and known so well, spent 3 years teaching. And he said, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but what was taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 22, chapter 20, listen to this. "Now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, that I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul said, "I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm being told that prison awaits me, but I'm going to trust God. This is when I'm not planning that, but whatever happens, I'm going to trust God for day to day and put my life in his hands." And James tells us that we should not say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or that city and do this or that. He said, for what is your life? Your life is a vapor. You don't know what will happen. Instead, we should say, if it is God's will, we will do this or that. Because see, life is uncertain, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't even know what this day will bring. And several years ago, when we all went through COVID, we had no idea what was going to happen and the uproar that that was going to cause. We had no idea when 2020 started what that year was going to bring. But through it, we had to learn every day to trust in God. We had no idea when we were at conference last week, we'd get a call that Kim's mother would fall. You've gotten those unexpected phone calls, those things that happen we don't plan for, we don't foresee. But yet, we got to trust God in the midst of those, right? And knowing that He has it in His hands. And life is uncertain. So make your plans. We need to do that. But to submit them to God's will, that's the first thing we see here in Paul's life. And the second is share your prayers, being sure that God will answer. Paul goes on to say to them, ask for prayer. He said, he prayed for them and said, I urge you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Spirit, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. And he asked for their prayers because Paul knew that God will hear all prayers that are lifted up in Jesus' name. And in John chapter 14 and 16, Jesus says there, ask whatever you want in my name and I will give it to you. In accordance with the will of God. And notice he says in verse 30, he said, I urge you by our Lord Jesus Christ, by coming to me in by his name, and when we ask in his name, Paul knew that the Lord would grant that request. Jesus himself had said that, asking in his name. And also share our prayers because God grants our requests in accordance with his will. God was going to answer the prayers that he was asking the Romans to pray for him in his will and according to his plan, not ours. John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, and you can write this, look this verse up later too, says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in accordance to his will, we know that he hears us. And in Luke chapter 22, the reference there is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying and he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup be taken from me, which we're going to share together in a few moments. He said, let this cup be taken from me if it's possible, but if not, your will be done. And it says, after he prayed, God sent an angel to strengthen him so that he would be able to accomplish God's will and give him the strength to do it. God answers our prayers in accordance with his will. And in Acts chapter 22, if we look at what he had prayed for, and in Romans chapter 31, his request, he says, pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service may be acceptable to the saints there. He was asking the Romans to pray for protection and safety. In Acts chapter 22, when you read this week, you will find out that as Paul was in prison, when he was arrested in Jerusalem, there was a plot of Jews who were trying to kill him. And they said, send word, Governor Felix, send word that you want to talk to him. The commander, you want to interview him. And on the way, we're going to ambush him. We're going to kill him in the transit. And the Lord exposed that plot to Paul's nephew. And he took it to the commander and revealed that. And Paul was saved and he was transported away. But God answered that prayer for safety and deliverance. And in Acts chapter 28, verses 14 to 15, when Paul said, pray that when I get there, I will be refreshed with you and with joy. And in Acts chapter 28, verses 14, 15, tells us that when Paul arrived in Rome as a prisoner, he saw the saints there, the church there, and he was refreshed. And he was met with joy, and he was refreshed when he saw the church as they ministered to him. And the Lord answered his prayers, maybe not in the way that he thought, but he answered him in accordance with his will. And when you and I lift those prayers up to the Lord, he will answer them in accordance with his will and truth. We have that confidence. And God's peace sustains us in all things. He closes by saying, may the peace of God or God of peace be with you. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, Paul says, and he's writing this from Rome in prison, by the way, and he's writing this back to the church at Philippi and says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. and God's peace, which passes all human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So how does this apply to our life? Simply this: keep your plans loose, friends. Make your plans, but keep them loose, knowing that we submit them to the Lord's will and He can change them. And hold your prayers tight. Because when you hold your prayers tight, listed up in His name, He will answer them in accordance with His will. And that's the confidence we have in approaching God. As we prepare to meet our Lord at His table this morning, He calls us to do this. And He invites us to His table to commune with Him. And He said, as often as we do this to remember Him. And He gave us this way as a church that we can gather together when we do this. He said, to remember Him and His love until the day He comes again. We look back and what He's done for us with gratitude on the cross, that He died and paid the price. Now we celebrate His presence with us now as we commune with Him personally in a relationship with Him and one another. But we also look forward to the day that we will share with Him in glory around His table because of what He's done. As we prepare to meet our Lord at His table, let's join together in a prayer of confession and consecration. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to gather together this morning with You. We thank You, Lord, that You are sovereign and that You have a good and purposeful plan for our life. And we may make plans, but sometimes You change those and we shouldn't get upset when that happens. But Lord, just trust You that You know what's best and You have a good and perfect plan for us. Lord, we thank You that that plan began back in eternity past. That back then, before anything else was created, You looked down through all of eternity and saw us, and even saw us at this moment. And You know what's ahead and what's down the next road. And because You knew of us in our sin, in eternity past, You already determined that the Son Jesus would come and die, and that He would shed His blood on the cross for us and be resurrected, that we could have life. And so, Father, we thank You for the bread. A visible reminder of Your body broken for us. That through Your body broken for us and the price being paid, we can be set free and be brought in that right relationship with You and restored. We thank You, Lord, for the cup, a visible reminder of Your blood shed for us. The price that was paid, our death that should have been, that suffering, that blood should have been ours, but it was Yours. So that we could be set free, so that the death sentence could be taken off of us, and we could have eternal life with You. So, Father, we thank You for the blood, the cup, and we consecrate it to You. And, Lord, this morning we consecrate ourselves to You again as we come to Your table in response to Your invitation that You want us to do this. You want us to remember and to celebrate with You this time of communion. You've given us this way as a church to remember what You've done for us. Your grace outpoured. So today, Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. We come to remember, but we come to celebrate all that You've done for us and the way that You've opened up through Your Son, Jesus. So that we come as well to commit ourselves to You once again as Your disciples, that as You died for us, we live for You. So bless this time at Your table this morning. Strengthen us with the bread and the cup of life as we feast on You by faith in celebration and in thanksgiving. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.